I'm just going to give you some simple truths that exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, just some simple things out of this chapter here tonight. I always like what one preacher told another preacher. He said, you know what you do if you don't know what to preach? When you get up, you don't have anything to preach. And he said, well, just brag on Jesus. Right? So I'm trying to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift him up. Amen. That should be all time. Amen. All right, in Colossians chapter 1, now I'm going to start here at verse 7. We'll read down a few verses here. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you, a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son. And then verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now I just want to go down through some of these verses right here and just bring out some things. If you remember old Pilate, he said in Matthew chapter 27, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Right? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. That's what has been going on ever since, folks there, of saying, we don't want anything to do with Christ. We don't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, except for a few. You know, there's still a few folks around say, no, we want to exalt him, right? We want him lifted up, amen? And I believe this, we live in the promise of that one day, folks. Everybody is going to confess him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Lord, whether they want to or not, all are going to bow the knee, and they'll acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, thank God we acknowledge him as the Lord right now, right? He is the Lord. He is my Lord. Amen. I can acknowledge in that and, thank God for that. Colossians, you get in the book of Colossians, of course, is a book that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and puts down the flesh. It lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want him to increase and for us to decrease, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is the only answer, folks, for our lives. It's him. And we are to exalt him, and this book does. Now, you look at the way, just a few things here, the way he words some things in here. Look there at verse 19. All right, verse 19. He says this, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Right? That's lifting up Jesus Christ. In him all fullness dwells. Verse 18, and he is the head. Well, that puts it right. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. Preeminence. So the book is, putting him up. It's going to lift him up. Chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So again, you see here that many times you're going to find that in the book here, it gives preeminence to the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about him. And of course, the Bible is what shows folks what is true in a world full of lies. You've got going on nowadays, you don't know what to believe or what to think and stuff of the politicians and all kinds of stuff. But I tell you, the Bible is a source where you can go to, it's truth. And you can only understand, I believe this, God through the book. You can only serve the Lord and obey him properly from the truth we get from the Bible. And that's why they're going to call you Bible thumpers, right? You're just a bunch of Bible, Bible, Bible. That's all you talk about, the Bible, right? You get that thing right here, amen. It rightly exalts him. That's why, you love it. It exalts him. It rightly lowers us. Now, I don't like that too much, but boy, that book puts us in our place. And when man is exalted, Christ gets put down. That goes on all the time in this world, okay? So I just want to notice some things here in these few verses. And, we know that they are true. And that's going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's pray. We'll go to the Lord and ask him his blessings on here. I won't be long, folks. I know that, but I pray you get something from this and be a blessing to you. Lord, thank you so much for your word tonight. God, I appreciate being here, and thank you for the blessing to be able to open the word of God. I pray that you'd open our eyes. We need you to give us understanding, God. We admit that we're nothing, Lord God, and that you're our Savior, and we ask you now to open the words of truth to us and give us something from your word that might exalt the Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. All right, we're going to first look there at verse 7. In verse 7 now, what you're going to find here is a definition of a true minister. A true minister. He says, "Ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." Okay, I want to say from that, I get a definition of a true minister is a fellow servant. A fellow servant, all right? And I'm sure you know today, folks, that there are many, many false prophets, false teachers and preachers around today. Many claim to be ministers, all right? They tell you they're a minister of this. They can put a collar on backwards, you know. They can wear the beads, or they'll wear crosses, or some of them still have the long robes, right? Still got those things wearing that stuff. But all that, it doesn't make anybody a minister. Doesn't make anybody that. A true preacher is one, from this, when we're going to the context here, is one who is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? He's not the big shot. All right? I ain't the big shot, all right? But a servant of Christ. That's, we're talking about a real minister, a Bible-believing minister there. Epaphras was a fellow servant with Paul. Now, Paul acknowledged the fact that he was an apostle. But I believe this, above that, you know, he acknowledged he was a servant of Jesus Christ. See that over and over again through there. He speaks of Epaphras, he says, you know what, our dear fellow servant. Our dear fellow servant. So all of us here, all right, are to be fellow servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that's something important for you to get, for me to get and understand that thing. I know folks have ambitions. I'm sure you've got your ambitions. I don't know what they are. You may not know what my ambitions are, but you've got ambitions. Preachers, pastors, they have their ambitions. And some of them are just they want to exalt their ministry. Sometimes it's to exalt their preaching. I mean, you know, if it's always me, 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 I, and you get all that kind of stuff, you kind of get a hint what's going on there. But you know what? Yeah, we ought to be a servant of Christ and to others, and others. You remember, I'm sure, in the Old Testament there about King David and his son Solomon. Solomon became great. The Lord lifted him. He was lifted up, but he fell, right? He got into idolatry, got into those things. And so that teaches us some things in that thing right there, and especially about being a true minister to others and stuff. You better take heed and be careful of even the blessings that God gives you so that, you know, you don't get to the point because God's just blessing you and giving you so much you think that you're something. Right? I mean, be careful of that. Watch, you know, keep in mind that all you got and all I get is it's because of him. We're still nothing. There's still nothing when it comes right down to it, all right? After Solomon, you remember there, Jeroboam, right? That's his son. He came up there, and then you have old Rehoboam. Read that story there, right? He comes up with Israel, and he says, you know what? Rehoboam, we'll serve you if you'll just make our burden lighter, right? Just kind of make it easier for us on that. Well, you know, he went to the old men that were around him then. Those old men had been with Solomon, and they told him, you know what? If you'll become a servant to them, then they will serve you. All right? That was the counsel of the old men. Right? And then he went to the younger crowd. He went to those folks that are around, you know, about his age. That's the college students, you know, today and stuff like that. And he asked them the same thing. You know, what should I do? And they said, servant? What, you know, what are you talking about, man? No way. You know, we're not going to be a servant. You just tell them, man, we're really going to put it on you now. See, and of course, you know who he followed. If you read the stories there, he followed the younger men's advice, left the older men's out. It was the wrong advice, folks. You say, why? Because going down is the way to get exalted, see? Yeah, and folks, young people, can I tell you, in here, you do a whole lot better if you'd ask the older folks for advice. I'm sure you've got some elder in here, some folks that know some things and got some experience in their lives. And folks, not you going to someone your own age to trying to get some advice from some things. I mean, go to the ones who are the fellow servants, all right? The ones who have been tested through some things and know some things on that for advice. That is some true ministry. Talking about true ministry. The definition of a true minister, you're talking, is a fellow servant. You know, when you get preachers today, and of course, you know, especially coming out of Bible schools, and it can be any Bible school, you know, Dr. Uckman's or whatever, some of them, you know, and they get that head full of knowledge, right? And you got kind of puffed up and you think, well, I'm a preacher. You know? I'm a preacher, and I'm going to preach. Well, can I tell you this? Not unless you're a servant. You're not a minister. See? That thing Epaphras was. And folks, there's a lot of false preachers today who boast themselves of great things going on, right? Matthew chapter 7, you know what they said? Lord, Lord, you know, we've prophesied in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy names. Oh, we've done some wonderful works, right? You know what Jesus told them? I never knew you. I never knew you. Boy, the Antichrist is going to be doing some great miracles coming up, folks. That does not make you a true minister. That doesn't make you a true minister. You're in the right direction when you become a servant, when you just become a servant. Jesus was a servant. He said he came not to be ministered to, but to minister, right? Paul, he was a servant. His servanthood was above his apostleship. See, that thing with him. And so you find, you know what? The way up is the way down. Success from God is to humble yourself. Right? It's just admit, Lord, I'm nothing. The definition of a true preacher, folks, and you know on that thing right there, if you're wanting to be a minister, and you know what? To exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to become a servant. Right? You need to become a servant. I need that. Amen. You need that. That's true. A minister is a fellow servant. Look at verse 8. Here's point number 2. Verse 8. Notice what he says here. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So I'm going to say this little thing here. This is a declaration of true love. A declaration of true love. You say, well, love in the Spirit. See, this is the only... folks, the only true love in the world is a spiritual love. You get here from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hollywood knows nothing of love. Hollywood knows lust. They know sex. They know perversion. That's the Hollywood right there. And God has the true love, right? We know that God's have the true love. And true love is something that sacrifices. True love gives. That's what's needed in our homes. I'm talking about Bible-believing homes, right? That's in our Bible-believing churches. In each of our homes, say, what's needed there? Man, us husbands to love our wives, right? And you wives, all right? To honor your husbands and love your husbands. Children, to love their parents. True love, and it makes you a servant to give to the other. And boy, I sure need to be reminded of that a whole lot, right? It doesn't take much for me to get distracted or get off on some things and forget, you know, you know, Lord, what's important on this thing, you know? And the Hollywood crowd does not know that thing right there. And you say, how do you know that? Well, you can tell, I think, a little bit by them, you know, living like animals and going from one to another, you know, and all the divorcing going on and stuff like that. And, you know, before they get married, they make their contract that, you know, I'm going to keep all my stuff if things just don't work out. That's not true love. You're not on that kind of thing. Folks, that thing right there, God has got the real stuff. And the real stuff's not all a bunch of emotions, okay? And lusts and things like that. And after you go, after a year in marriage, you find out that, you know, sometimes the emotions, they just ain't there. But true love goes further than that, all right? Paul said he declared unto us their love in the Spirit. So you got to get the right one, right? You want to get that? Anything else doesn't have it. We're talking about love. If you keep letting the world influence you, you know, watching the movies, listening to the music, letting that stuff, watching those kind of things, how they live and what they think love is, you're never going to get it. You ain't going to get that thing. All right? You say, why? Because they don't want to be a servant. All right? They don't have that kind of heart. You got to realize, first, you're a servant. That's what we are. Second, you got love in the Spirit right there. That's the declaration. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All those things are connected, see? And if you're saved, that love can be shed abroad about in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 5, right? You have to let it. You know, okay, Lord, I'm yielding myself. I'm going to let you, shed that abroad. Give me that, Lord. Paul had it. He didn't glory in himself. He wasn't self-exalting. He said, I am crucified with Christ. That's what he said. I am crucified with Christ. And if we're to exalt Christ, then we need to get that definition of service and that declaration of true love. Third, look here at verse 9. Look down there at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, folks, that's something real important for the Christian to get right here. His desire in true prayer. Here's Paul. He had a desire. He's talking about true prayer. Praying, right? If you praying, you know what? Sometimes it's not so easy. Many times we're just not getting maybe the scriptural sense of that thing. Now, in verses 9 through 12, there's four things I just want to point out on that thing about prayer and his desire. And the first thing is, you know what? Is to pray for your own filling of wisdom and spiritual understanding. You need that. I need that. Say what? I need God to open my eyes. I got to have God to give me some understanding. It's a spiritual wisdom and understanding. And it's going to be in knowing his will. Right? Lord, what's your will in this thing? That knowledge and wisdom is for us to get a hold of. God's got that thing. Job, he asked way over there, you know, back in the Old Testament there, where is wisdom? Many times you ever thought, asking that, where is wisdom? And I am in the dark here. Where is the place of understanding? Job 28:28. And he comes down to that thing. He says, unto man, he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. All right? Do you fear God? All right? That's something real important, right? You were talking here about this understanding and wisdom from God. I mean, the fear of the Lord, folks, is not some big boogeyman waiting in the closet. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. When you fear God, you know what you're going to do? It's going to help you to depart from evil. That's still in the book for us Christians. Departing from evil, right? Trying to live right in that thing. That's quitting your sinning. When the Lord's speaking to you, you fear God enough to stop that thing? Fear God. Depart from evil. You know what that is? That's five words. It's not complex. You know, folks, get all kinds of, you know, things going on there when you start talking about sin and stuff like that. It's not complex when you want to do it. It gets complex when you try to get around it, right? That's when all the problems come in, trying to get around what God's telling you. So first, the desire is to be filled with wisdom and the knowledge of his will and understanding. Second, you see verse 10. Notice it says here in verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, secondly, he had a desire here is us to walk worthy to please God. That ought to be your desire. You ought to have in your heart, man, I want to walk right, Lord God, worthy to please you. See, that's after you're saved. On that thing right now, after you get saved, you know what? You might get a pinch of wisdom. Or give you something like that before you ain't got nothing, right? You're just, just a dumb stump or something, you know, on the rock there. God will give you some wisdom after you get saved. Say, why? As you get in the book, right, and you start reading in that book, you start to grow some, right? I mean, many folks have get saved. They have no background or history of any Bible at all, you know, and they just don't know where they're coming or going. But Once they start getting in that book, man, and they start reading it and asking God to open their eyes and give them understanding, you can see where God's given you some things. And you say, oh, I'm growing a little bit here. I'm getting some things from God, right? You increase, and the Lord can help you make you fruitful in your walk. That's a desire. I want to be fruitful, right? And that thing there. Third, look at verse 11. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So here's something. He says, strengthen with all might. Now, yeah, you got a lot of that going on today, right? You got the big bodybuilders and stuff like that, you know. And this is not some guy bench pressing 500 pounds. Who's that guy, Thor? They call him Thor. I can't think of him. I think he's up there. Man, he is a big fella. I don't know if you ever seen him on that stuff. Watch that. Boy, that guy can, he can lift some weight, right? Man, he can put some stuff. But can I tell you something? That's not true strength. That's not the strength. Spiritual strength is what this is here. Now, in that verse right there, you know what you're finding, folks? If you lift this, you get this thing right here, you're lifting 500 pounds or more spiritually in your walk. What does he say? Unto all patience. Lord. Patience. You ever have a problem with having patience? And then he goes on with long suffering. You know, Lord, I'm just going down here. And then, but boy, if he just didn't leave this off, right? With joyfulness. You might be able to bear through it and get through some patience and long suffering, but man, with joy, I tell you, you are lifting some weight, friend. If you put that onto, that is an inward strength. That's a strength that comes from God, power of God, and it's working in your life and through you on that. All this muscle business, folks, is not true strength. I mean, you got some saved, you know, you got these saved muscle-bound guys, you know, they're in, like the flesh and building that kind of stuff, and they can't even talk to you about Jesus. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. They're wimpy inside. You know, if you got the muscles, you know, and all that kind of stuff outside, and you can't even give somebody a track, you're a wimp, spiritually. Okay? We're talking about some spiritual. This is power in patience. Power and long suffering. I mean, you put up with stuff, right? And you're patient with others. And, you know, and it has joy. And that's, folks, that's God's word aimed at you, aimed at me. So this is just some simple truths. But I'm going to tell you, when you apply these things, how do they exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? Right? They lift him up. Fourth, verses 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So here he starts, he's giving thanks. Giving thanks. There's another. This is a desire. Giving thanks he has here. Some folks not thankful because, you know what, someone else has more than them. Did you ever have those thoughts, right? I mean, Lord, why has he got all that? I think of this brother here, you know, he can play the piano, he can sing, and I don't know what else he can. You know, he's skinny. Lord, you give this guy all this stuff. Oh, your Lord. You know, well, maybe it doesn't work out the way that you thought it would, right? And you prayed for something, you know, and you thought, you know, Lord, sure, this has got to be your will, and it just didn't come out that way. You ever have something like that? On that thing right there. So, you know what? I didn't get my way. It didn't come out the way I wanted to. So I'm just going to quit thanking. I'm going to quit thanking God. I'm not going to give thanks anymore. There's a preacher one time, and he had some problems. And let me tell you, preachers have got problems, right? Preachers got problems. And he started complaining, this preacher, you know, and these about his problems and things like that. And boy, the more he started complaining, the more things just, he said, got worse and worse and worse for him, right? That's the way it usually goes. And so he thought, you know, one day he said, man, I'm going to try something different. And you say, well, what did he do? Well, he started following his own preaching. Preachers don't do that all the time, you know. Catch myself, Lord, man, I just preached on that thing, you know. He started following his own preaching. You say, what, he got some help by thanking God. Right? You just start thanking God in the situations you're in and what you're going through and stuff and what may comes your way, Lord. You know, God knows what's best, right? And he's in charge of you. You're his child. He wants to help you. And boy, you get helped by thanking him. God's pleased with that. All right? He is pleased. He is pleased with every single believer. I believe he has a thankful and praising spirit in his life. Right? You thank God through those things. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? That is exalting Christ. That is the way Paul prayed. That's what he says here, these just simple things in the book of Colossians. Verse 1. Now, something else here, verse 14. Now, this is a simple, he's given a description of true salvation. Verse 14, right? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Man, the first thing, when I think about this on our salvation is, you know what? We have been forgiven. Forgiven. I'm forgiven. Thank God. Amen? Amen. And I'm sure you're glad that all your past sins that you've done have been forgiven. And God's put those things, past, present, and future, under the blood. And I'm glad, you know what, when God looks down and he does see us, he doesn't see us as we really are. You say, man, really? God doesn't see you as you really are? I believe he has to look through the blood. When you're saying, when he looks through that blood, you know what he's got to see the Son. And he sees the Son. I mean, thank God, amen. We are covered by the blood on that thing. True salvation's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his merit and not mine or yours. See, that's salvation right there. We sing, in my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Right? And that's it. See, that forgiveness of my sins. And you know what, Christian? You know what you and I got right here? We've got his word that they are gone. Right? And you get thinking about that, man, what did I back there, man, Lord? And all this stuff and I got into and stuff. They're gone. They're gone, see? And thank God, amen. Do you have that absolute assurance because that you just trusted Jesus Christ by faith in him alone? Do you have that assurance, you know, that your sins are gone? And you came just as a sinner as you are and trusted him? That's true salvation, right? Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's it. He's get a hold of that thing right there, amen. He's the true Savior. The fullness of God is in him. Many times, you know, he exalts the Lord Jesus Christ here. The fullness of God, the firstborn before all things, that he might have the preeminence. You say, how can that all that be true of him? Because he is God. He is God. He's the reconciler. I like that illustration, you know. Preachers tell you so many times, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ took God in one hand, and he took me in the other hand. He's talking about reconciling us, and he brought us together through his death, his burial, his resurrection, and he made peace. We got peace with God right now. None other can do that. Nobody else, no other religious leader or savior that they have can do anything like that. He is lifted up, only Jesus Christ. Now lastly, I want you to see something here about Paul. And you know, Paul is a true apostle. Of the Gentiles. He's the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there, verse 23. He says there, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. So you're talking about Paul here, and he's talking, you know what, I'm a minister. And Paul was a true minister. Folks, he was a minister to the Gentiles. To him, you know, God revealed certain things and truths that you're supposed to believe. Right now where we're at in this age of being saved by grace through faith, right? That thing. Paul, when you look at his life, you know what? He was mistreated. You ever been mistreated? Well, you're going to get mistreated if you're going to be a minister, right? Paul was mistreated. You know what? He suffered. Paul, do you ever suffer some things for Christ? Because you were trying to be a minister to Christ or to help someone? Yeah, you might have to suffer something like that, right? I mean, Paul suffered being a minister. But you know what he did? Man, Paul fulfilled his course. He exalted the Lord Jesus Christ, through all his sufferings, through all his mistreated, and all those things, Jesus Christ was exalted. He admitted that he was a chief of sinners, right? And Jesus Christ was a chief of saviors. That's him. So he pointed to him. So I just tell you tonight, you know, in this short little message here and some things, just to kind of remind you, you need to look well to your ways. Follow the book. Keep in the book here, amen? All those damnable heresies, you know, that's going around, they come from folks not following Paul. All right, and his epistles he gave specifically for us to follow, twisting the scriptures, mixing the philosophy, and beliefs contrary to Pauline doctrine. See, and they get all messed up in that kind of stuff. Heretics, you know what? They got the same line all the time. Yea, hath God said. You ever run into someone who's, you know, trying to put doubt in your mind about what God said? You know where, you know, that came from, okay, friend? All you need is right here in this book, folks. It's right there. And I know you know that. And Brother Hoffman believes that and teach that. But we're complete in him. When you got saved, you're complete in him. This book exalts him. Believe it when you read it, right? Believe it so you can grow. Now, I don't know. I'm sure I don't know all that some of you may know. Okay? But can I tell you something? That's okay. Because I'm complete in him. And he's my Savior. And he's the one I'm trusting in, and I'm looking to. And we ought to lift him up. All right, some short things there about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. All right, amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I pray that you might bless it. And folks might have got something, some help from that thing right there. Maybe to remind them of some things, Lord, about us being servants. And Lord, we're not the big hot dog today, Lord. We're not the top. Of everything here, Lord, we're to be a servant. We want to be your servants, Lord God. And Father, we want that to be able to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ through that. And we pray, Father, that you might come quickly. We pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And while we're waiting and you're tarrying in, Lord God, that we might just do some things that exalt you and lift you up, make you happy. And I pray you'd bless it in Jesus' name. And for his sake, we pray. Amen. Amen, folks. That's what I got. You're dismissed. Amen.